Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia, who has a website in, which you can find at www.lastdaysmystery.info. Richard also has a book on Bible prophecy that's put out by Penguin Group Publishing, and it's entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. And we've been speaking with him about a number of things related to this whole issue of the second coming of Jesus Christ, with special reference to the prophecy of 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, and specifically whether or not the 70th week, or the last 7 years mentioned there in that prophecy, is past in its fulfillment or future, not yet fulfilled, and the whole issue as well of the rapture. Will there be a rapture if the 70th week is future? And, of course, there's disagreement in the Christian community over that one. But if it is future, whether or not the rapture is prior to that onset of the last 7 years of history, at the midway point of it, or at the end of those last 7 years of world history, if, in fact, that 70th week or 7 years of Daniel that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, is in fact future. It's a very fascinating subject because it pertains, it seems to me, not simply to what one believes or doesn't believe on this subject personally in regard to the second coming of Jesus Christ, but it also pertains, it seems to me, to a series of things going on today in the political world that tend to classify people. It's not an absolute classification, but tend to classify people one way or another in regard to their view of the modern state of Israel from the vantage point of biblical prophecy, and whether they tend to be pro-Israel or non-committal or anti-Israel in regard to how that whole business plays out at the end of history. Richard, let me ask you something. In regard to this whole issue, you take a view that the Daniel 9:27, that 70th week or seven-year period of time, is future. You believe that the there will not be a pre- or mid-tribulational rapture, but that there will be a one-stage coming of Christ at the end of that 7 years. Just looking at your view of this in regard to the fact that you believe the Antichrist is in reference in Daniel 9:27, and that you believe that this 7 years of world history is yet future, and that most of the commentators believe that this involves some sort of a security arrangement or contract between this futuristic Antichrist and Israel. I just want to follow up with a couple of things. Does that mean that at some point Israel will, in your view, will be deceived?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I
mean, now, okay.
I don't believe initially.
Excuse me.
What they've agreed to when this covenant comes into play. Clearly, we're dissecting this prophecy of Daniel in the end, the last four verses of Daniel chapter 9, which is very important, no doubt. But I think there's one thing that I ought to interject here for, you know, us and our discussion and our and your listeners, is that one of the things that I have seen in studying of prophecy is that you got to be very careful not to put an overemphasis on one particular in reference to a particular passage. For instance, until you've got all prophecy fitting well perfectly together, you've got to keep looking for the truth. If everything doesn't fit, you haven't got what you need yet. And
we'll
that's
be back.
That's essential.
We'll have a longer segment of conversation when we return with Richard Perry. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Back. This is Mark Danhaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Richard Perry, who has a website, lastdaysmystery.info. You can also find Richard's book through Penguin Group Publishers, and that book is entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. Also wanted to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be carrying Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network throughout the American South on conventional radio. And also wanted to mention that tomorrow we've got two interesting guests coming up. Michael Schwartz, who's going to be discussing the president's surge policy in Iraq from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And then Barrett Tillman is going to be with us from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. He is the author of the Palgrove Macmillan work entitled LeMay. That's referencing General Curtis LeMay, the father of the Strategic Air Command. That's a part of the Great General series. And between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, Barrett Tillman is going to be talking about that book and the significance of Curtis LeMay for American combat aviation and the understanding of both World War II as well as the Cold War period of time and the great struggle between the United States and the Soviet Union for many, many decades after the peace of World War II in 1945. Back again with Richard Perry here. Richard, I think you made an important point before the end of the last segment And that is the idea that one has to take the entirety of the biblical corpus, whatever one decides to believe about this, that you have to take the entirety of the biblical data. And this involves a whole series of passages, both in the Old Testament and the New, beyond simply Daniel chapter 9 and the Olivet Discourse. But it does seem, doesn't it, that in regard to so many of the prophecy interpretations that people are familiar with today, or beginning to get familiar with, that this whole business of the 70th week of Daniel, and whether or not that's future or past, and the whole question of the second coming of Christ, be it in two stages or one, those continue to be pivotal issues that come up with folks from time to time.
Yeah, and they certainly are. And again, I can't emphasize enough that we've got to look at the whole Scripture. I mean, that's true not just in prophecy, but certainly you can see it in prophecy quite clearly, is that all the pieces have to fit together, or you haven't got what you need. And when Christ was talking to his disciples, when they had asked him about his return and the end of the age, and one of the key things he gave them was the abomination that causes desolation. And he said, as spoken of by the prophet Daniel, and he told them as readers and us as readers of this, he said, you're supposed to understand this. In other words, he was referring us to all of Daniel's prophecies, I believe. He might have been specifically referencing that one in 9:27 because it's so famous. But that's not the only place Daniel refers to the abomination that causes desolation. Daniel has numerous prophecies, at least four major prophecies in the book of Daniel, about the kingdoms that will come upon the earth before the end. And there is this one final kingdom, which is led by this beast that John refers to as the Antichrist. And again, I mentioned that Paul refers to as the man of lawlessness, and John in Revelation refers to as the beast, who will dominate the world. In other words, he will be literally all-powerful in the world, so all-powerful that this guy, this world leader, will say that he's God at one point. And that is called the abomination that causes desolation. In other words, it's something disgusting, despicable, that makes desolate, which could be destruction or could make the temple unclean so it can't be used. But, I think, while there are still debates about dissecting Daniel's 70th week, I think that's a little bit distracting if we're not careful. Because if you look at all of Daniel's prophecies, you see clearly there's this kingdom that comes, and there's this world leader. And one of the things that this world leader does repeatedly in Daniel and repeatedly in the book of Revelation, and we see Christ referring to it and Paul referring to it, is this period of great tribulation, this persecution of the people of God, which in Revelation says is Israel, and it's also the church, the people that follow the testimony of Jesus Christ. You can find in Revelation that in Revelation 12. And that happens, it continues to go on until the end of the age, and it's only stopped when Christ returns. And the last 3.5 years is incredible persecution of the saints. Daniel refers to that in Daniel chapter 7. He refers to it in Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 9, we saw it in what we were just discussing. And then Daniel chapter 12. And then, of course, the abomination that causes desolation is fairly clear in Daniel, but nobody makes it more clear than Paul when he describes the event in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he's trying to clear up something for the Thessalonian church about his teaching when he was there with them for probably only about a month. And they thought the day of the Lord had already come because things were getting pretty bad. And he said, no. He said, you got to understand that day, the coming of the Lord and our being gathered to him, will not occur until after the man of lawlessness is revealed. And then he described that event. He said, the man of lawlessness will go into the temple of God and set himself up proclaiming that he is God. And then he goes on to tell us some more facts about that situation and the timing. But he's very very, very specific. This man of lawlessness will go into the temple of God, which we know today doesn't even exist, and he will set himself up and declare that he is God. That is the abomination that causes desolation, and that's 3.5 years until the end of the age. And it will be really bad. That's the Great Tribulation for that period of time. But interestingly enough, and Paul mentions this too, he says, you know, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them. Well, prior to the destruction of the Great Tribulation by the Antichrist will be this time of peace, 3.5 years of peace and safety. It's the first half of the Daniel's 70th week. The whole 7 years is not Great Tribulation, as some people suppose. It's actually, for Israel anyway, a time of peace and security for a period of time until the abomination and then the Great Tribulation. Now, the rest of the world, by the way, a lot of this focuses on Israel, as we've discussed in the past, but the Bible clearly says that this Antichrist will dominate the whole world, and that this time of testing, this Great Tribulation, will come upon the whole world. Now, this brings us to some real issues about today and looking at world events and what Bible prophecy talks about in terms of, you know, where are we today? And you and I started to talk earlier, and I was explaining that in Daniel, when it's described, Daniel 9:26, where it says the leader who will come is connected to this people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary. And most people erroneously think that it's the Romans that destroyed the city and the sanctuary, because it was the Roman general Titus that was the head of that army that did that. However, the Roman army was common practice for them to commandeer conscripts from their conquered territories to be the fighting troops of their army. Of course, the Romans were the generals and the captains and the lieutenants, but the fighters, the people of that army, at the time of the destruction of the temple, Jerusalem and the temple, when Titus came in 70 AD, was not the Romans. The people, according to the historian Josephus, were Syrians from the Middle East. And they are the ones that destroyed the city and the sanctuary. Actually, they got out of control. Titus wanted to protect the temple as a trophy for his victory, but fire got into the temple, and you know, the wood caught on fire, and the gold melted off the temple, or the paneling, and got down into the stonework, and the army literally tore the temple down stone by stone, just as Jesus had prophesied that it would be torn down stone by stone. And they got all the gold. And when they went home to Syria after that campaign, Josephus said the price of gold in Syria dropped 50%, or dropped in half. That's how much gold was taken. And that also identifies the people of the ruler who will come, which identifies, in my mind, the Antichrist as somebody from the Middle East.
Now, you think, in your view, will this futuristic Antichrist be Jewish?
No. And this is interesting. I mean, a lot of people draw that connection. Jesus clearly said, you know, I come in my Father's name, and you wouldn't accept me. But somebody will come in his own name, and him you will accept. Now, he's talking to the Jews. Now, the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with Israel for 1:7. In other words, he's going to guarantee their peace. But he's going to have, apparently, the way I'm interpreting it, and this is just my own putting the pieces together and trying to figure out how does this happen, because there's the Antichrist and there's the false prophet. These are the two major players in this end times kingdom of that Daniel describes, and he tells us exactly how it comes into being. But there's this false prophet. Here's my take on that. The Antichrist is going to be out of the Middle East, because every place in the Bible that talks about where the Antichrist is from or who he's over, it's always the Middle East. Isaiah clearly identified the Antichrist in many places in Isaiah, and he's from the Middle East. He's called the Assyrian.
Richard, hold your thought. We'll be back.
Okay.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia, and you can find his website at lastdaysmystery.info. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia, who has authored a book for Penguin Group Publishing entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. And his website is www.lastdaysmystery.info. That's www.lastdaysmystery.info. Richard, apologize for the difficulties in interrupting your continuity of thought, but go ahead, sir.
All right. We were talking about the Antichrist, I think, in terms of where he's going to come from. Daniel provides us a lot of information. He says, as we talked about earlier, that he's from the people that destroyed the city and the sanctuary, which were the Syrians. Daniel talks about these beast kingdoms in Daniel chapter 7. He talks about Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, then finally the Greek Empire, and then there's this fourth kingdom that has characteristics of the previous three, which is the lion, the leopard, and the bear that Daniel talks about in 7, which is also interestingly, A similar description that we get in Revelation chapter 13, in a description of where the Antichrist comes from, and it's referred to his kingdom as being like a lion and a leopard and a bear. And then we see in the prophets, we see Isaiah and I think it's Hosea refer to this final persecutor of Israel before the kingdom comes, before the promise of the gospel is fulfilled. This leader is referred to as the Assyrian. He's referred to as the king of Assyria, who persecutes Israel. Now, there's a very interesting prophecy in Isaiah chapter 10 that I think if you see the Daniel's 70th week as starting off with the covenant, in other words, that the Antichrist makes peace. He provides security for Israel. And then in the middle of the seven, he sets up the abomination that causes desolation, which starts the Great Tribulation, which is a time of 3.5 years of persecution until Christ returns. And so you have this change of events. And here's the way Isaiah writes it. Excuse me. It says, In that day, the remnant of Israel, those that would be the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now, that's a little convoluted if you don't already have the picture, that it's this Assyrian, this is what this is about. The remnant of Israel will no longer rely on the Assyrian who struck them down, which is the Great Tribulation. In other words, first they relied on him, then he struck them down, but that they will rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, which is the return, the coming of God, the Messiah, to save them. Well, it's a perfect picture if you already see the technical, precise fulfillment of the last 7 years, but you got Isaiah referring to this final world leader who first protects Israel by this covenant, and then he beats them up in the Great Tribulation until the end, and when the Lord returns.
You in Isaiah chapter 10, then you see no reference to the 8th century judgment of the northern kingdom of Israel at the hands of the Assyrians?
Now, well, you know, that gets interesting, too, because as you read these things, I mean, I see this as specifically about this verse of 20, I think, is specifically about the Antichrist very precisely, because it culminates with they're going to trust in God. You know, they're finally going to trust in God, which is the end of all things, which is the end of the age as we go into the kingdom. In other words, you've got to always look at the prophecy to see, you know, has all of this been fulfilled, or is it some of it's been fulfilled? Because clearly, some of Isaiah's prophecy, you know, had to do with their relative immediate future. But as you read it, you go, well, wait a minute, this never happened, and this is, you know, looks like it takes us into the promise of the gospel. And again, this is another important thing. It's like, you know, people can have different points of view, but I just want to be clear about where I'm coming from.
Sure.
Is that biblical prophecy is always fulfilled literally at face value, visibly, historically, and I think you've got to look at it that way. I'm not saying it doesn't have spiritual ramifications. I don't want to be misinterpreted, but in other words, it's things you can see, touch, and smell, and feel, and when you see them, you go, oh, my God. You know, I mean, it's not just spiritual. In other words, a lot of people, I mean, we've been waiting for the return of Christ for 2,000 years. And in 2,000 years, our imagination has gone crazy. We've thought of all kinds of ways to interpret Scripture. And some of the ways we gave up are the literal, you know, kinds of ways of interpreting it in a historical, physical way.
We'll be back with Richard Perry. He is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days, Penguin Group Publishing. Also has a website, www.lastdaysmystery.info. Mark Dankos, America, will return on RBN from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia. Richard has a website, www.lastdaysmystery.info. He also has a Penguin Group publishing book entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. Richard, wanted to ask you a couple of things as they pertain to this whole issue of Israel. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there's a conversation there between the Apostle John and Jesus Christ. And Jesus has John record a series of things to seven churches in Asia Minor, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I'm zeroing in right now on the fact that in the messages that Jesus gives to John to write to these churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, which were arguably the two most positive churches in the list of seven, a reference is made by Jesus Christ, both to the church at Smyrna and also to the church at Philadelphia, about being aware of the blasphemies of those which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. What do you think that that means, and does that have any implications for the present-day alliance between much of the American Christian right and the Zionist state of Israel?
Whoa. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I understand what that means, in terms of the spiritual context. Because
what is your take on that?
Well, when the synagogue of Satan, I mean, in this world, there are only two groups of people from God's point of view. Jesus was very articulate about that when he was talking about the kingdom in Matthew 13, and he said, talking about the field being the world, and the sower is the Son of Man, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, which would be the sons of God, and the bad seeds, the weeds that sprung up, were the sons of the devil. In other words, there's only two groups. There's sons of God, and there's the sons of the devil. It's God's people and others. Whether you're Jew or Gentile doesn't matter. So basically, you either believe in God and are obedient to him, in other words, that you have integrity about your belief, or you're following somebody else, and there's only one other to follow. You're either a son of the devil or a son of God. So you can be a Jew and be a synagogue of Satan because you're following Satan. You're not following God. You maybe know his name is Yahweh, but you don't do what he said. The same thing that Jesus said.
In essence, what you have then is a situation where, looking at that warning to the church at Smyrna and the warning to the church at Philadelphia in regard to the Jews who say they are Jews and are not but are of the synagogue of Satan, that essentially what you have then is a situation where Jesus says true Jews, spiritually speaking, are those who follow Jesus Christ.
Right.
Those who emphasize that they are of the physical lineage of Abraham but reject me are, in fact, of the synagogue of Satan. Is that a fair reading of what's being said there?
Absolutely correct. And let me just – maybe I should, this would be a good point for me to clarify, my position of the gospel.
Sure.
Is Yahweh is the name of God. It's the name that God Almighty gave Moses when he basically sent him to Pharaoh and to the tribes of Israel, to the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, tell them that Yahweh sent you. Tell them that I am sent you. Now, Jesus, when he shows up, he says to the Jews, before Abraham was, I am. I mean,
John chapter 8, correct.
Yeah, they knew what he was saying. They picked up stones. They were going to kill him. I mean, he was saying that he was God. He was saying before Abraham existed, I am. I mean, that's Yahweh's talk. Now, it's interesting, too, here, for those of you that haven't had a chance to look at this, here's a passage that everybody should look at, and it's in Jeremiah chapter 23, and it's verses 5 and 6, and I'm just doing this from memory, but you'll find in your Bibles, it says, well, maybe I should look it up, but it's Jeremiah is prophesying, and the Lord is speaking. Let me just flip to this here, because this is one I don't think I should paraphrase. And it says, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Now, Lord is L-O-R-D in this passage. Whatever you find, capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, what's behind that is the name Yahweh, Y-H-V-H or Y-H-W-H, which is the consonants for the name of the one true God. So it says, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. Well, that's the son of David. That's the Messiah. Everybody should know that. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. That's L-O-R-D capitalized. It says Yahweh, our righteousness. So what you have in the Old Testament is God Almighty, Yahweh, is saying that in the days to come, he's going to have a righteous branch. The Messiah is going to come and rule righteously in Judah and for Israel, and his name is Yahweh. In other words, God is saying, I'm coming. Jesus gets here. He's the Messiah. And he says, I'm God. I'm Yahweh. So, just so, you know, when people, you know, you want to know what I believe that, you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Now, I don't want to get into the Trinity thing, but, you know, I just want to be clear that God is saying, I'm going to be the Messiah. The Messiah says, I'm God, and I believe that. Now, here's another thing that's really, really important in terms of all this prophetic stuff, is that the Bible says that the Messiah, that God will rule and reign from David's throne in Jerusalem. Now, some people have spiritualized that and say that Jesus is ruling and reigning today in heaven from the throne of David. Well, that isn't at all what the Bible says, unless, of course, you just throw out what it says and you spiritualize everything. In other words, if you're saying, well, there will be no coming kingdom on earth, you know, from Jerusalem, on Mount Zion, the way all this language in the Old Testament and consistently with the New Testament says. The promise.
So in other words, what you have is a distinction between those who believe that is literal, historical, grammatical, and literal,
yep,
and those who say that when you come to the whole issue of Jewish apocalyptic literature, which quite clearly the book of Revelation, for example, is a part of that tradition of Jewish apocalyptic, that you have Jewish imagery, historical, grammatical, linguistic, nationalistic, and religious, that in effect, because it's apocalyptic literature, is out of the Jewish tradition, should be more properly seen as ancient Jewish religious categories that need to be seen in the light of the dawning age of the New Testament and interpreted more allegorically. Is that the difference between the two schools of thought?
And let me, I would say yes, but let me clarify this. I mean, one of the things that I'm seeing more and more clearly as I devote myself and submit myself to the scriptures is that the Jews, you know, they came up with the Talmud, which was, you know, how to interpret scripture. In other words, it's the writings of man to tell you what God is telling you. And they got so that they would rely on the Talmud, the teachings and traditions of man, so much that they missed God when he showed up. Well, what we need to do is look not at the Jewish traditions and teachings. We need to go back and look and make sure we're familiar with the Old Testament, what God says, because the Jews took the Old Testament and they piled on top of it all kinds of traditions and teachings of man, which corrupted and defied a lot of what the Bible said. Now, Christianity today, hello, we're doing the same thing. We've got all kinds of things that we're holding up as holy and important and significant in terms of our religion. But if we look at it in comparison to the scripture, we're going like, where does this come from? Well, we have lots of traditions, and they come from the Roman Catholic Church. They come from different, you know, different teachers, and people get, you know, follow different teachers. You know, well, Paul is very clear. He says, you know, you follow Paul, you follow Apollos, you follow, you know, you follow Christ. What is Christ divided? I said, you know, we got to follow Christ. We got to follow Yahweh, and we should all cast aside our traditions. The Jews should do it, and the Christians should do it, and we'd both find ourselves in the same camp.
Well, let me ask you one thing, and I want to take a caller who's been waiting.
Okay.
The whole issue then of your perception that the 70th week of Daniel is future, which is certainly a defensible point of view. Would you acknowledge the notion that the futuristic view of the 70th week of Daniel was basically unknown in Christian interpretive thought until the first third of the 19th century?
The future of it?
Yeah. Would you?
No, absolutely not. No, it was the early church writings, the early church fathers seemed to be quite clear. Is they always seem to write about the end of the age in the terms that the church would face the Antichrist. The Antichrist would come, and he would persecute the church. I mean, these are church people. They're not even they're obviously. Well, I don't know. Obviously.
So you don't believe, for example, that the parenthesis theory related to Daniel chapter 9 and the notion that the 70th week or the last 7 years is future is basically coming out of the Darbyite teachings of the 19th century?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, the future 70th week and the facing the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation was the common teaching for the first 1,800 years. It wasn't until Darby around 1830s, for the last 200 years, that we've been looking at this from the standpoint that there's this dispensational view and that there's the church separate from Israel in some context, and that the church would be removed before this period of time. I mean, that's fanciful. It's a myth. It doesn't. I mean, I could show you and break it down for you simply. Well, and here's just one example. In other words, the rapture. Paul probably gives us the most beautiful, comprehensive picture of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. He says basically that Jesus, the Lord, will come down from heaven, and with a loud trumpet call, the sound of the angels, and the dead will rise first, and then we who are alive and left will meet them in the clouds, or will join them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, well, that's perfect. Now that's a beautiful description of the resurrection and rapture, although it doesn't really tell you in the text or the context of that particular chapter when it occurs. But it does tell you when it occurs, and here's the clue. It says, Jesus, the Lord, will come down from heaven. Well, if he's come down from heaven, he's left heaven. And then if you look at Acts 3:21, it's easy to remember, A3:2:1. It's Acts 3rd chapter, verse 21. It simply says, the Lord must remain in heaven until it's time to restore everything. Okay, well, he comes down out of heaven after the tribulation, and he restores everything. Oh, by the way, when he comes out of heaven, he also resurrects the dead and raptures the church, at the final gathering, at his second coming.
By the way, we've got a caller here. I want to work him in for you, Richard. Okay. Dan in Texas, you're on the line for Richard Perry. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, Mark?
Yes, sir.
I would appreciate both your views on two quick issues. In Revelation, where John speaks of seven kingdoms, five have been, one is yet to come.
Ooh, I love this one.
And then an eighth comes out of the seventh. Your quick overview on that. And then y'all's views on this press conference that was held in New York yesterday regarding the ossuary that James Cameron and I guess others are going to allege contains the remains of Jesus. And I'll listen on air. Are y'all
Go
familiar
ahead,
with
yeah,
what happened
well,
yesterday?
I mean, Dan,
yes.
You have hit on one of the most incredible mysteries of prophets, I think, in terms of this this mystery that is in Revelation 17, the beast you once saw, once was, now is not, will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction, so forth. The inhabitants of the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from creation of the world will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. It says, this calls for a mind with wisdom. Now, wisdom comes from God, and I think we get the wisdom from the Word of God. And that's the way I was able to figure this out after years and years and years. I think God revealed it to me just two or three years ago, what the answer to this was. And it's fairly complex, and it's also quite simple. It says the seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. Now, hills there in most English translation is also translated mountains, and mountains in prophecy is kingdom. So the seven heads are seven kingdoms on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings, which that seems to support. Obviously, kings are not over hills, they're over kingdoms. And then it says, five have fallen, one is, the other is not come, but when he does come, he must remain a little while. The beast, who was and now is not, is an eighth king, and he belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. I never could figure that out, but I went after it one day when the Lord, when he said, look, I'm going to explain to you this mystery, which is stated right there in the passage, and it calls for wisdom. And I said, you know, I read everybody's position on this, and I never found this particular position. But so the seven heads are seven kingdoms on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Shall I wait?
Yes, we'll be right back with you, Richard. We'll be back with Richard Perry and with our caller, Dan. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest has been Richard Perry of Athens, Georgia. You can find Richard's website at www.lastdaysmystery.info. He has authored the Penguin Group publishing work entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to the Last Days. Just wanted to mention tomorrow, before we get back to Richard's answer to Dan, that tomorrow morning I'll have Michael Schwartz on to discuss the president's surge policy from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And then Barrett Tillman will be on from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning to discuss his new book in the Great General series entitled LeMay, talking about the father of the Strategic Air Command, Curtis LeMay. Back to Richard Perry. Go ahead with your answer for Dan.
Okay, Mark, first I want to say, I know it's getting to the end of our 3 hours, and I would have never guessed that we wouldn't have, you know, covered more by the time, by 3 hours. If you'd like to have me back on the show, I'd be glad to get into some more stuff.
Hey, we'll definitely do it, Richard. We'll figure out it in a day, because this always happens when we discuss something that's detailed and this interesting. And it's good that we can divert like this at the same time that we'll try to pay homage to a broader scope the next time we get you on. But
absolutely,
go ahead.
There's a lot of current things that we haven't really touched on that I think
would
be really interesting to the listeners. But Dan, your question's really good, and I might not have the time to fully answer it, but you know, the website lastdaysmystery.info, I've got a section on biblical mysteries or prophetic mysteries, and it's covered in detail. But the key to this thing for me was when I, you know, looked into the Word of God and looked in Jeremiah 50:17, which is also connected to Revelation 17 and 18. Jeremiah 50 and 51 are kind of an Old Testament New Testament handshake. But in Jeremiah 50:17, it says the first king is Syria. And then that unlocks it, because then you can go through the seven kings, the first king being Syria, the second king being Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. The third and fourth kings are the two kings of Media and Persia, and the fifth king is, Syria, Babylon, Media, Persia,
Greece,
and then... The one that is Rome, and the other that has not yet come, that's the Antichrist, who will end up as the leader of the fourth beast kingdom of Daniel, which has the seven heads and ten horns, which Daniel described. And you know, maybe Mark, you and I can go into that if we get back together on another show. But that's pretty interesting stuff, and has to do with what's going on in the Middle East now. But the one that is yet, the beast who once was, and this is the one that is to come, now is not, is an eighth king. The future beast, in other words, there's first the Antichrist, and he's the seventh king. And he has the kingdom of seven heads and ten horns. But if the Bible says that he gives all his authority to the false prophet, so when I believe that when the Antichrist declares himself to be God, the false prophet takes over his kingdom and he has all the authority of the Antichrist, then he becomes the eighth king, which is part of the seven kingdoms of the kingdom, the heads of the Antichrist. It's a little complex, but it's really simple when you see it in the scripture.
Yeah, Richard, thank you very much. I want to do this again. And maybe in conjunction with Kurt Simmons of the Preterist point of view on the book of Revelation, and also Bill Kalivas of Historicist.com. I'd like to bring them on with Richard Perry to really thrash this out one of these days. You can find Richard Perry at lastdaysmystery.info, and his new book with Penguin Publishing Company is again entitled The Idiot's Guide to the Last Days.